goal, things to avoid, what things are uncool, favorable to devotional service, what things are particular, how we should be engaged in different relationships with devotees, how we should see the devotees, and execute our prescribed duties of hearing and chanting, so as to gradually become free from material contamination and revive our taste for hearing and chanting and serving Krishna. Now, after hearing about devotional service in practice, we're concerned here with Radhanuga Sadhana Bhakti. Devotional service in practice, but in which the practice is performed in the advanced stage with spontaneous affection for Krishna. In all practice, the center is the mind. The center is the mind. Therefore, we learn from the very beginning, manasakrotare. One has to control the mind. Udhare atmanatmanam, natmanam avasarye. Atmanam yatmano bandhur atmanam ripuratmanam. Bandhur atmanatmanas tasya, yenatmanam atmanam jitaha, anatmanastu chastutve, varteta atmanam chastutve. One should elevate oneself by the mind and not degrade oneself. The mind may be the best friend or the worst enemy. Vanturatmatmanastasya yenatmayamatmanastasya. For one who has conquered the mind is Vantu, friend. And anatmanastu shatrutve, svartetatmayamashatrutve. For one who has failed to control the mind is the worst enemy. So the mind, Prabhupada said, the Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant to train the mind to be always engaged in Krishna's business. And Prabhupada gives this comparison that the mind is like a camera with so many pictures. And the impressions overlap, and sometimes you get all sorts of crazy images. So, chaitva dharpana marjanam, the mind should be purified. And the goal is yam yam bhati smaran bhavam chajachante kalevaram sam sam evaiti kantaya sadatat bhava bhava. We were hearing this morning in Bhakti Charamarja's class of fixing the mind on Krishna at the time of death. This is the test. Everything's tested at the time of death. And we don't want our minds going here and there. We want the mind to stand. Bhajahure mana srinanda avaya saranada. The mind should be engaged in the devotional service of Krishna so that at the time of death we can be transferred either back to the spiritual world or to some place where we'll have the opportunity to engage in the service of people. Yes. In the service of people. So here, tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanismara yudhya. Therefore, Krishna says one should always think of him and perform one's prescribed duty, offering one's mind, intelligence, everything to me. One is sure to come to me. So, in the previous verse, Sri Rupa Goswami has advised that by chanting with attention, we can get free from material attraction and reawaken our devotional service. Chanting attentively means what? Avoiding ten offenses. Now, Srila Rupa Goswami gives instructions for remembering Krishna when this has actually occurred, when it's actually come to the point of developing one's consciousness of Krishna. One is spontaneously thinking of Krishna, eager to hear and chant about Krishna. And naturally inclined to think of Krishna and Krishna's service. Srila Prabhupada in his purport cites two significant verses as we come from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He did so at the request of Rishikeshananda, his disciple, who was the devotee who had requested Prabhupada to write the book. So he suggested to Prabhupada, what about adding these two verses here? Prabhupada thought carefully about the suggestion and then agreed. We'll come back to those verses in a moment. So, yes, first one has to train the tongue to always glorify Krishna, the mind always to think of Krishna, by following the regulative principles. Then, tishtan vidhi, one should try to live in vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada explains, actually, we've dealt with this here. What's Raghunuga Bhakti?
Internally, to live in the Vrindavan attitude, specific service in the mood of the gopis or sakasa. And externally following the skill of the sadhana.
Yeah, you've got given me kind of an essay there. And you got a little ahead of yourself here because you have that already happening in Pava, which, okay. Good. What's Raghunuga more simply? Yes. Devotional service in which one follows spontaneously a ragatmika. What's a ragatmika? Okay, we're following the ragatmikas. Who are they? I don't know. We're following them. Wherever they are. Yes, the eternal residents of Vrindavan who are completely attached to Krishna. Who are such residents? Yashoda Mayi. Nandamaj. Gopas. Gopis. Coward boys. They're the Gopas. Yeah, the friends, the servants of Krishna, and Prabhupada mentions here the devotees in neutrality. Okay? So there's, you've got them. Krishna's servants, Krishna's friends, Krishna's parental devotees, those in conjugal love. Neutral. So these are devotees now who are completely attached to Krishna, and Raghunuga Bhakti is, Prabhupada said, a gradual development of the ambition to become like a particular devotee, and that develops spontaneously, and this activity is called Raghunuga. When is this possible? When the mind is controlled, yes. Anartha nirvritti. All the garbage has to be out of the mind. All the anarthas have to be freed. Gone. Not that we're still at the stage of material contamination, and at the same time spontaneously greedy to follow in the footsteps of a particular resident of Vrindavan and cultivating Nam. That's contradictory. This activity comes on the platform of purity, when the heart is free from material contamination, and it naturally comes. It's not something forced. It gradually appears as the heart becomes purified, just as the sun, if you can't force it, it comes up. And then everything becomes visible. It's not that you can make everything visible before the sun comes up. The sun comes up and everything becomes visible, the sky becomes filled with sunlight. You can't just paint it blue or project some, you know, big blue light on it. That's not going to be the same as sunrise. And the imitationists are not appreciated. Those who pretend that they've reached this stage of raganuga when they haven't reached the stage of anartha nivritti. So first we need to hear about Krishna's name, form, qualities, and so on. What was the analogy from yesterday? In the verse itself? Jaundice. And what about jaundice? Sugar candy. What about jaundice and sugar candy? Huh? Someone want to make a sentence here? This is the advanced class, right? Yes, Krishna Kripa.
As the cure for jaundice, sugar candy tastes bitter in the beginning, similarly, the practice of the Sadhana Bhakti will cure bitter in the beginning, although it allows for a lot of good taste.
And what do you have to do? Follow him. You have to do it. Bitter or not bitter, we have to take the sugar candy. And the symptom of our progressive return to health is that the sugar candy will start to taste nice, start to taste sweet. So first there's hearing about Krishna's name, form, qualities, and so on. And this is called Shravanadasha. The situation of hearing about Krishna. And then this is all disappears where? Yeah, starts from the bottom of page 75. 76 actually comes up. In the neophyte stage, always eager to hear Krishna Katha. Even as neophytes, we may not be in the stage where we're aspiring to follow a particular resident of Vrindavan, but we can be eager to hear about Krishna. So this is Shravanadasha. And then when we become attached to chanting those topics, this is called Varanadasha. Varan means describing. Kirtan. So one reaches this stage, Varanadasha. He's equal to chant. Prabhupada said, because I was enthusiastic about hearing, now I'm enthusiastic about chanting or preaching. So Varanadasha. And when we're able to chant in ecstasy, we come to Smaranadasha, always remembering Krishna. How does Prabhupada describe that? Yes. When one is able to chant in ecstasy, then Smaranadasha. And that remembrance develops through various stages, which Srila Prabhupada also mentioned. Recollection, absorption, meditation, anusmriti, and samadhi. Recollection means thinking of Krishna, but it's sometimes interrupted. And absorption means uninterrupted remembrance of Krishna. And meditation means concentrated remembrance. Still more. And anusmriti, constant remembrance, in which the meditation expands deeper, deeper, deeper. And samadhi, spiritual trance, always completely immersed and speaking of Krishna. And when remembrance becomes uninterrupted, unceasing, fully concentrated, fully developed, we come to the stage of perfection, in which one can, Prabhupada says, perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. At that time, he can perfectly and clearly understand his eternal relationship with Krishna. That's called sampatti disha, the perfection of life. So this is another way we trace the process in different ways. We've talked about Shraddha, Pajana Kriya, Shraddha, Sarasanga, Pajana Kriya, and so on. Now here's another way of looking at it. Smarana Shravana Dasha, Varana Dasha, then Smarana Dasha in different gradations. Higher, and finally one comes to this stage in which one perfectly and clearly understands one's eternal relationship with Krishna. Now we're just trying to get even the basic idea of our relationship with Krishna. I'm not this body, I have a relationship with Krishna, I'm the servant of Krishna, and we're fighting against that at every stage. No, I'm independent. But in the perfect stage, one understands fully well that one is the servant of Krishna, and one perfectly and clearly sees one's eternal relationship with Krishna. This is an understanding. You're tired today, aren't you? Not down, huh? Want to take some rest? Maybe you want to just knock out?
No.
To make it? So this understanding comes of its own accord at the mature stage. One can't force it, and imitating it is foolish and useless. Both. You can go to Radhakund and have some Babaji initiate you into your eternal relationship with Krishna. But Prabhupada comments, in the opinion of Srila Rupa Goswami, such activities are simply disturbances to the standard way of devotional service. As we discussed, there are such people now in Radhakund who will give you that kind of initiation, and they'll say this is the traditional bhakti yoga practiced by the Goswamis and practiced by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and then deviated from by later acharyas. Yeah, that's their position. They're very respectful to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, at the same time that they say that they essentially deviated from the Parampara system. But in fact we find that although this system was practiced among some members of the Gaudiya Vaishnava community, elsewhere it was not. At Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we don't find in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who am I? Sanatana Goswami said, who am I? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't say, oh, you're such and such Manjari. You're an eternal servant of Krishna. But you've forgotten and you're rotting in this material world. So we have to see these practices may have been followed by some exalted Vaishnavas who were actually fit for such realization from the early stage. But you know, we're just trying to keep our pants on and not always succeeding. You know, what is our level of realization? So we go to Radhakund and we're initiated into our eternal identity. And then we go back to Brooklyn, you know, and so we can make some money driving a truck. You know, what's the use? So Srila Prabhupada is giving the appropriate method of devotional service. Krame. In Paul Kiarostami to Sindhu and Chaitanya Charitamrita to do that. Step by step, these things come. So Srila Rupa Goswami is informing us about the higher stages. But jumping to those higher stages will not help us. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur advises us, Prabhupada says, one who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna and his name and form and qualities and pastimes and so forth. So these are the instructions of what kind of devotional service? Sadhana, yes? Vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Devotional service under rules and regulations. You must do this, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this, you must not do that. And then he goes on, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering Krishna's name, fame, pastimes, and qualities under the direction and protection of an expert devotee. This stage is what? Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. It's still devotional service in practice, but it's the advanced stage of practice. It's the spontaneous stage of practice. The practice now is not simply, okay, I'm supposed to circumambulate Tulsi Devi three times. I did two, one more to go. It's not simply ringing the bell and tossing some water this way and that way and making some circles in the arti or getting up at a certain time and these things will continue. But now there's an additional practice within the mind for which the mind has become qualified on account of its spontaneous attraction to devotional service in a particular with a particular taste, or with a particular aspiration, particular greed. So that's Radhanuga Sadhana Bhakti, spontaneous devotional service in practice. And it involves following in the footsteps of a confidential associate of Krishna under the guidance of an expert devotee. Now let's look back at those two verses. Okay. Important verses. Krishnam smaram janam chasya peshtam nija samihitam tat tat katar tat chasa kuryad vasham braje sada. The devotee should always think of Krishna within himself and should choose a very dear devotee who is a servitor of Krishna in Vrindavan. One should constantly engage in topics about that servitor and his loving relationship with Krishna. And one should live in Vrindavan. If one is physically unable to go to Vrindavan, he should mentally live there. So this is the practice. Krishnam smaran janam chasya peshtam nijasam dham. One should always think of Krishna and follow in the footsteps of a particular servant. Prabhupada mentions those servants for the in the Shantarasa. There are the cows or the sick or the food in the hand of Krishna. And the servants, there's Chitrak, Patrak, Raksak. And friendly devotees are like Sridham, Sudham, Balaram. And in Vatsalya Rasa, Nand Maharaj, Yashodamayi. And in Madhurja Rasa, the gopis are there. And they're described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Nectar of Devotion. There are topics about these devotees. And one becomes very keen to hear about a particular kind of topic, particular services of Krishna. And the best place to execute such practice is in Vrindavan itself. where everything is there, the whole scene is there. Govardhan is there, Yamuna is there, everything is there. And if one can't go there, one should mentally go there. But his mind keeps them down. Any questions about that?
Yes.
It means follow in the footsteps. Srimati Radharani is one of the conjugal devotees of the Lord. She's not just one, she's the number one conjugal devotee of the Lord. Now, we can't become like Srimati Radharani in all respects. She's the Vadini Shakti. She's not one of the living entities even. She's not one of the Jiva souls, either conditioned or liberated. She's the specific internal pleasure potency of the Lord. We're not going to be like that. But we may aspire to follow the devotees in the following the mood of Srimati Radharani. She's not in a friendly mood or servitorship mood or a parental mood. Her specific mood of devotional service is conjugal love. And she has her associates. Yatya prabha prabhavito jagat. What is that? Ananda chinmaya rasa prati bhavita vi. Ta virya eva nidurupati asana. She has her expansion, Lalita, Vishaka, and so many goddesses of fortune who are the expansion of Srimati Radharani. So one may pick up that mood and aspire to serve Krishna in that mood. And we read in Nectar Devotion that there are two ways of two kinds of aspiration. Someone remember? In that regard?
I don't know the sense of terms, but one was to aspire really like the church of Srimati Radharani, in the sense of other sections, and all being direct to the servant of Krishna.
Yes. One mood is that one wants to associate with Krishna directly, and another mood is that one wants to assist those who are associating with Krishna directly. So here, the idea is that one should hear about such associates. And again, one should never imagine that now I've become Nandanani. I've become Lalita. That's Mayavad. As it's Mayavad to think that now I've become Krishna, it's also Mayavad to think that now I've become such and such intimate associate of Krishna. The idea here is to hear about those intimate services and to want to follow them. Raga Anuga. Anuga means? Follow. Follow. Anuga means follow. So one develops the spontaneous aspiration to follow a particular devotee. Yes?
Suppose aspiring in ways, we mentioned that, do they both lead towards direct Krishna?
No. Because the desire is different. Not that if you desire, the devotees who desire to assist are not desiring to assist as a kind of stepping stone. You know, I'm desiring to get a job at the New York Times, as one of those interns who brings coffee for the editors and who, you know, why? Because I want to go on from there to be something else. Not that my mood is that I eternally want to carry coffee to the editors. But I'm thinking, you know, I'll pick up something that will give me something to do, and gradually I'll become the editor-in-chief. So the devotees who are aspiring to please Krishna by becoming assistants, although not directly in Krishna's association, have an intense greed to do that. That's their taste. It's not that they think, I want to do this so that I can do that. They're not looking for a promotion. That's their taste. They want to do that. And others have a taste that I want to directly associate with.
The result
is absolute. The result is that one is situated. One becomes situated like that. But there's variety. Someone wants to serve this way, someone wants to serve that way. Just as someone wants to be a parental devotee of Krishna. They don't want to become parental devotees so that they can gradually be promoted to conjugal devotees. Well, I don't think I can make conjugal in one step. Let me see if I can shoot for parental, and then maybe from there. They're not thinking like that. They have an actual taste for serving Krishna in the parental mood. Yashoda Mahi is not doing time as Krishna's mother so she can, you know, get another taste. That's ridiculous. She has eternally the taste to serve Krishna in her particular mood. So that's there. Something else?
Yes. I was wondering, under the protection of praise, and under the protection of sacred devotees, is that they're actually channeling that devotee and they get direct inspiration? This is how I do that.
Channeling the devotee?
I mean, you know, like that devotee speaks to them in some way and tells them, this is my mood and I do things like this, and I get it. Or is it just, you know.
Of course, this is all beyond our realization. But actually one becomes qualified to enter into the Vrindavan atmosphere. One meditates on following such a particular aspirant and aspires that when will this devotee direct me this way and that way. And from there things progress further. But all of this is in the liberated platform. All of this is on a liberated platform. I think we see in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes that he enters into the pastimes. Krishna and the Gopi sees something going on and then Gopis direct him, you do this, that.
Thank you, Brahman.
These things are there. But again, that's in the advanced stage. It's not imagination. It's reality. But it's reality achieved in the stage of perfection, not in the probational contaminated stage. Yes.
I have one big book, I think it's from Gaurima, about Lord Chaitanya and his associates, and all the rites and the three posters. All the acharyas are from, on the other side, there are the manjaris, which are the acharyas. There's also one manjari from Srila Prabhupada. So could you also say,
from manjaris to Srila Prabhupada?
Yeah.
What do you mean, four Srila Prabhupada?
The picture of Prabhupada, and on the other side, there's like the manjari.
What book is this?
It was a really big book about
the Chaitanya and his life and associates.
What is that? Chaitanya, his life and
associates. And who's the author?
The younger Sitamon.
Oh.
Yeah. My question is, Henry also makes a very serious issue about the Prabhupada, the Raghavika Bhakta, in our Raghavika Sadhana.
Can we meditate on Srila Prabhupada in our Raghunuga Sadhana practice? Yes. But first we have to get to our Raghunuga Sadhana. And for that we have to have some realization about Srila Prabhupada, beginning with Srila Prabhupada's situation as an acharya in our presence. Again, we can't push it. Those who are imagining, you know, that there's so many things.
Yeah.
Can you explain a bit more about the Shantaras? Shantaras means one is malleable to Krishna's will. One wants to give pleasure to Krishna, but it's not active. It's not that he's thinking, let me do this, let me do that. It's passive. The grass will provide pleasure to Krishna as he walks upon it. The flute will give pleasure to Krishna when Krishna picks it up and plays it. This is Shantaras. Sometimes Shantaras is not considered one of the mellows of devotional service. And sometimes it is. But generally, we find that the Rupa Goswami begins. He begins by mentioning Shantaras, but things sort of pick up and get moving with Dasya. Mm-hmm.
Why acharyas were sometimes disclosing their spiritual...
Why were the acharyas sometimes disclosing their spiritual identity? I do not know.
because of this reason, Prabhupada didn't, because it may confuse all the conditions. I was just thinking about that.
Prabhupada didn't. Mm-hmm. Although maybe he hinted. Mm-hmm. And maybe some people don't get the hints either. But what good does it do us, practically speaking? You know, the same question, you know, can we execute Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti this way? Yeah, but we have a long way before we get there. Someone was telling me the other day that some ISKCON devotee approached one senior Gaudiya Vaishnava and asked him, you know, to talk about highly advanced topics, you know, some rustic topics. And Gaudiya Vaishnava immediately criticized him that you're looking at women's breasts and you want to know about these things? First you come to the stage when you're no longer looking at women's breasts. Then you ask about these. First you come to the stage that when you're chanting Hare Krishna, you're not looking up at the palm trees. Then you ask about these things. It's not so cheap. In one moment I'll be looking at women's bodies, and the next moment I'll be thinking about, you know, spontaneous devotional service to a particular servant, you know, in the mood of a particular servant with intense greed. They do not go together. They do not go together. Some other questions?
Thank you.
So we come to that second verse. Deva sadhaka rupena siddha rupena chatrahi tad bhava lipsuna karja vajra loka anusarita. The advanced devotee who's inclined to spontaneous loving service should follow the activities of a particular associate of Krishna's in Vrindavan. He should execute service externally as a regular devotee, as well as internally from his self-realized position. Thus he should perform devotional service both externally and internally. That's translation from Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explains, this is Madhya chapter 22. Bhaya antara ihar dvi tasarana bhaye sadaka dehe kore shravana kirtan mone nija siddha deha kariyabhavan bhavana ratri dine kore vraje krishner sevan. There are two processes by which one executes this Radha Nuga Bhakti, external and internal. When self-realized, the advanced devotee externally remains like a neophyte and executes all the Shastric injunctions, especially those concerning hearing and chanting. But within his mind, in his original purified, self-realized position, he serves Krishna in Vrindavan in his particular way. He serves Krishna 24 hours a day, all day and night. This is the explanation that externally the devotee is doing everything, especially hearing and chanting. Krishna kirtana gahana sanatana. Goswamis were absorbed in following the regular principles. That's what they were doing, sadhaka rupena, in their forms as sadhakas. That means their manifest forms. People would see them hearing, chanting, offering obeisances, circumambulating, counting, doing everything according to the regulative principles. Seva sadhaka rupena. And siddha rupena chatri. There was also a second way they were serving, siddha rupena, in their spiritual forms. It means that by their internal self-realization, they could see, this is my business. And they were following that principle. So bhaya antara ihar dvi tasarana, the two sadhanas, internal and external. Bhaya sadhaka dehe kori shravana kirtan. Externally, he's sitting in shravana kirtan, hearing and chanting. Sadhaka dehe, in his body, as a sadhaka. And mane, nija siddha dehe, in his own spiritual, perfected body, in his mind, kariya bhavana, ratri dine kore vraje krishna. Day and night, he's serving Krishna in Vrindavan. That means, and we read, therefore, it's possible one should go to Vrindavan. And there, in one's own physical form, as well as in one's spiritual form, one will be serving. Otherwise, one can live anywhere and serve Krishna externally by following the regulative principles. And internally, Krishna is everywhere, and the mind can think of Krishna anywhere. So he focuses his mind. He absorbs his mind in thinking of a particular kind of service. Any questions? Any questions? Clear to everyone? Yes.
Is it easier for them to do it in the Navi or when they're on that level? Or
it's congenial. Vrindavan is the congenial place. Prabhupada once said, Vrindavan is the one place in the universe where Krishna automatically reveals.
What about Mayapur?
Mayapur is also Vrindavan. Gaura Mandalit Bhumi, Vidachane Sintamini, Tarvay Padhi. One who knows that there's no difference between Mayapur and Vrindavan is actually the one. So we also experience, although we're neophyte devotees, that we're practicing, but when we come to Mayapur, we come to Vrindavan, then our practice is being performed in the congenial place. In New York, in Paris, in London, the atmosphere is not so congenial. Rather, it's uncongenial. Billboards, everything's aimed at helping us forget Krishna. But in Vrindavan, the atmosphere is conducive to what Prabhupada mentioned. And one goes to Vrindavan and automatically remembers how Krishna's nice pastime. He gets some feeling from the atmosphere, how Krishna's place is nice. Otherwise, the temple of Krishna is also considered as good as Vrindavan. You go there and Krishna's there with Radharani, and devotional service is going on, hearing and chanting are going on. So that's also the atmosphere. The idea is to recreate within the temple the atmosphere of the spiritual world by hearing and chanting and devotional service to Krishna. So the temple is the congenial place, and Vrindavan is the congenial place. Anything else? We are moving ahead, actually. This course is easier than my previous course because you just finished Nectar of Devotion, so you're familiar with a lot of what we're talking about. Vaikuntas janito vara madhukuri tatrapi rachotsava vrinda ranya mudara pani ramanat tatrapi govardhanam radha kundam ihati gokulapate premamrita plavana kurya rasya virajato vidutate sevam viveki nakaha. Although the spiritual world is superior to the material world, Mathura on earth is superior to Vaikuntha. And within the Mathura district, the Vrindavan is superior within Vrindavan, Govardhan, and Radhakunda is supreme. In these last three verses, we're now going beyond sadhana, beyond vaidhi, beyond raghunuga, to bhakti and prema bhakti. Srila Prabhupada begins by saying that the spiritual world is three-fourths of the total creation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Beyond the spiritual material world is Vaikuntha. You can get an elaborate description of Vaikuntha in the third canto. In chapter 15, there's an elaborate description of the kingdom of God when the Kumaras go there and encounter Jai and Vijay, and then things take a different turn. But the description is there, how they're seeing the palaces, how they're seeing the Vaikuntha residents, how they're all looking like Narayan. how the like when the denizens are flying in their airplanes along with their wives, and but in such a nice atmosphere, they're not feeling any sex desire at all. They're simply absorbed in thinking with Krishna. So this is there in Canto 3, Chapter 15. And further in Brihad Bhagavatam, when we come to Brihad Bhagavatam, so Gop Kumar is traveling to higher and higher regions, and he reaches Vaikuntha in the fourth chapter. And there it's described, he's that there at the gates of Vaikuntha, and some swan airplane comes, and wonderful forearm personality with glowing blue effulgence and Shankachakra that I've read now and everything. And the Pope Kumar is in ecstasy, immediately bows down and starts offering prayers. Oh Lord Narayana. And the devotee says, me? Narayana? What are you talking about? And he's just the servant of Lord Narayana, one of the innumerable Vaikuntha Vasi. And then, having been set straight, Gop Kumar understands, and then the next word comes, oh, it's Gavin, Narayan, this one must be And finally, in the association of the Vaikuntha Vasis, the Vaikuntha Vasis instruct him how to meet, how to behave in front of the Lord Narayan, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do. And he becomes, he gets the association of Lord Narayan. So there's a very nice description of that exalted Vaikuntha region in the Brihad Bhagavatam in part 2. Now, says, but Mathura, so the spiritual world is naturally superior to the material world. But Mathura and the adjoining areas, although appearing in the material world, are considered to be superior to the spiritual world because the personality of Godhead himself appears at Mathura. In the Bhagavatam, Mathura Bhagavan Yatra Nityam Sanahito Hari. Lord Hari Krishna is eternally present in Mathura. And again, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is extensive evidence about the glories of Mathura. Maybe I'll post something else. Srila Sanatan Goswami very much glorifies Mathura. Let's see if I find that there. Jayati Mathura Devi Shrestha Purishu Mano Rama Parama Dayita Kamsa Rater Janistiti Ranjita Dhrita Haranan Mukter Bhakter Api Pratiparanash Dagati Mahita Tattat Krida Katastu Vidurata. All glories to the goddess Mathura Devi, the best of holy cities. She enchants the mind. She is most dear to the enemy of Kamsa, and she is adorned with the Lord's birthplace. The city of Mathura is acclaimed throughout the world for dispelling misery and bestowing liberation and devotion, not to mention the various pastimes the Lord performed there. And then in the purport there's a lot from various Puranas. glorifying the Torah. An Yeshu Punyuk Shetreshu Muktir Eva Mahapala Muktai Pratya Harer Bhaktir Maturayam Hilabhyate. In other holy places, liberation is the greatest reward one can achieve. You go to the other holy places, and the greatest thing you can get is mukti. An Yeshu Punyuk Shetreshu. In other holy places, Muktir Eva Mahapala, the great reward is mukti. Muktai Pratya Harera Bhaktir. But Maturayam Hilabhyate. In Mathura, you can get Muktai Pratya, that which the liberated persons pray for. Hari Bhakti. Go to Varanasi, go to other holy places, you can pray for liberation. But if you go to Mathura, you'll get what the liberated persons pray for. Very nice. And then Vrindavan. Jayati Jayati Vrinda Ranya Metan Murare Priyatamamati Sadhu Svantabai Kuntava Sat Ramayati Sasada Ga Palayan Yatra Gopi Swarita Madhura Venur Vartayan Premara said. All glories to this place where we are living. Lord Murari's Vrindavan Forest. Sanatana Goswami was living in Vrindavan. The Lord prefers residing here to residing in Vaikuntha or in the hearts of elevated saints. In Vrindavan, while always tending his cows, he gives pleasure to the gopis, whose love for him in the mood of the rasa dance he increases by sweetly playing his flute. So Vrindavan is super excellent. And let's see. Yes. The women of Mathura in the first canto? Tenth canto. Are glorifying Vrindavan. Punya Bhata Vajabhugo Yadayam Nralinga Gudha Purana Purusho Vanachitra Malya Da Palayan Sahavvala Kwanayam Stravenu Vikrida Yanchati Giritra Samarchitanti. How pious are the tracts of land in Vrindavan. There are the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about, enacting his many pastimes. His feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and the goddess Rama. Adorned with wonderfully variegated flower garlands, forest garlands, he vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balaram. There's some nice comments there. Fine. Thanks. No. Thank you. Next one. These things you don't find in Mathura. In Mathura, the Lord is not wandering about with cows, even if he has some cows there. He's not playing like a cowherd boy. And certainly he's not playing his flute in Mathura. And even if he sometimes might play a flute in Mathura, it's not to attract the gopis and enjoy the rasa dance. These things are all found only in Vrindavan. So the Vrindavan is glorified above Mathura. Mathura But superior to the forest is the divine Govardhan Hill, because Krishna lifted Govardhan like an umbrella, raising it with his beautiful lotus-like hand to protect his associates, the denizens of Braja, from the torrential rain sent by the angry Indra, king of the demigods. It's also at Govardhan that Krishna tends his cows with his cowherd friends, and there also at his rendezvous with his most beloved Sri Radha and engaged in loving pastimes with her. Govardhan is also described by Sanatana Goswami. Govardhano jayati shailakulagirajo yo gopikavir gurito haridasa bhaja krishnena chakra makabhanga sitarchito ya saptaham asya karapadma tole javatsi. All glories to Govardhan, the emperor of lordly mountains. The Lord's dear gopis called him the best servant of Hari, Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna disrupted the sacrifice for worship of Indra to worship Govardhan instead. And then the hill resided for a week on the Lord's lotus pond. So here Sanatana Goswami is making an allusion to a verse spoken by the gopis. Hantayam Madhira Bala Haridasa Bhajo Yad Rama Krishna Charanas Parasha Pramoda Manam Kanoti Sahago Ganayostra Yorya Paniya Suyavasa Kandara Kanda Mula. Of all the devotees, this Govardhan Hill is the best. O friends, for Krishna and Balaram, along with their calves, cows, and cowherd things, this hill supplies all necessities, caves, fruits, flowers, vegetables, water for drinking, and very soft grass. In this way, the hill offers respect to the Lord. Being touched by the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Govardhan Hill appears very jubilant. So Govardhan Hill is still more appreciated. And Sanatana Goswami, while writing this Brihad Bhagavatamrita, was actually residing by the side of Govardhan. Then, by the way, the entire second part of Brihad Bhagavatamrita is about the glories of Goloka Vrindavan. So that's the subject matter of part two of Brihad Bhagavatamrita, the glories of Goloka Vrindavan. So very much in detail, Srila Sanatana Goswami tells what we'll find in Goloka Vrindavan. So Govardhan is very much appreciated, and Srila Prabhupada in his final pastimes also had the desire to go to Govardhan Hill and circumambulate Govardhan. And superior to Govardhan is Radha Kunda, because Prabhupada says it's there that love of Krishna overflows. It's full of Rati Vilas, confidential amorous pastimes. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, he was especially looking for Radha Kunda. And in this way, he disclosed its importance, which the members of other sampradayas may not understand. Yes?
There's also the Radha Kunda,
Lalita Kunda. Yes, Lalita Kunda. Shyam Kund, of course. Yeah.
Sometimes some devotees ask me a question, say, when Krishna appears as Giriraj, and it seems that he's no different from Krishna, but and sometimes, I mean, it's clear to understand that Govardhan is a devotee, so it's like a small contradiction.
No, Krishna. The Giriraj is also Krishna. but in the mood of a devotee. The Govardhan is Krishna. Krishna was performing the Govardhan Puja and saying to the Gopis, just see how Govardhan has assumed such an enormous form and how he's eating all the offerings. So Govardhan is, therefore we're worshipping the Govardhan Shila as being none different from Krishna himself. But his mood is that he's a devotee of Krishna. Just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's Krishna. But he's in the mood of a servant of Krishna. So Giriraj is in that mood. Although he's Krishna, he's also described as Haridasa Varga, the best devotee of Krishna. Something else? Yes? You know, I don't know how many kundas there are, how they're all situated. I'm not so. I hardly go there. Thank you.
Because, like also, eight villages
around
Hyderabad
and
similarity was.
Maybe.
Yeah.
There's so many very holy places there. I don't know so much. But among all of these places, the Radhakund is singled out. Because it's considered, as Govardhan is none different from Krishna himself, Radhakund is none different from Srimati Radharani. Raghunath Das Roshani spent most of his days at Radhakund doing his bhajan there. But we may not go be so quick to move to Radhakund. There's a, I mentioned before that book by Srila V.R. Sridhar Maharaj, Follow the Angels. And there he says, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur once composed a verse expressing the proper attitude. Pujala Raghupata Gaurava Bhange Matsala Sarujala Vishaya Lange. The path of divine love is worshipable to us and should be held overhead as our highest aspiration. That's the verse. He ordered that a cottage be built for him in Govardhan and said, I shall live there. I shall live there. I am not fit to live in Radhakunda. So I shall live in a lower position. But my gurus, Gaurakishordas Babaji, Bhaktivinod Thakur, and others are fit to serve there. So I shall go and serve them there in Radhakunda, and then return to a little lower position in Govardhan. There I shall stay. This is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Pujala Ragapata Gaurava Bhangi Matala Sarujala Vishaya. Any questions? Very important that we get this. Very important that we get both things. This perfection that's being described and the understanding of what qualification it takes to be eligible for this profession. There are now so many devotees who don't understand the qualification for performing advanced devotional service. And they think that they'll live here, they'll live in Vrindavan, they'll live in Govardhan, they'll live in Radhakunda. And they'll perform devotional service. But what are they doing? Maybe someone, but Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I'll live a little down from Radhakunda. I would say, I'm not fit. So what is our position? Therefore, Prabhupada used to say, work hard, work now, samadhi later. By performing not only regular principles, but by sincerely trying to please the spiritual master. When the spiritual master is pleased, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, then Krishna becomes pleased. And when Krishna becomes pleased, then he reveals. Atat Sri Krishna namadi napade jayami. Sevam yukrahi jivaro svayami diskrasya. Krishna can't be perceived by our gross senses, but when we serve Krishna, then Sevam yukrahi jivaro, beginning with the tongue chanting Hare Krishna, and svayameva spurati adhara. He'll manifest himself of his own accord. So our business is to try to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master by devotional service. And in the advanced stage, then samadhi will be there. Then samadhi will be there. Prabhupada had that slogan, work now, samadhi later. And if you turn it on its head and think that no, I'll start with samadhi, it's not so cheap, not so easy. Yeah. Exactly. You'll do samadhi now, and then you'll be working in some department store in, you know, Queens or maybe doing stuff. Yes.
What's the proper etiquette when it comes to
Well, that Srila Prabhupada was quite reserved about that. Once some devotees went there, and the report came to Prabhupada that they, you know, they dove into Radhakund and they were playing in Radhakund, and Prabhupada was furious. They're simply kicking Srimati Radharani. And then Prabhupada ordered that no one should bathe in Radhakund. This is the level of realization. You know, dive in and use it as a place for water sports. I was just simply kicking Shin Feet on it. He said, you can go there and just put a few drops on your head. Then there were some other instances Prabhupada seemed to ease up a little bit. But the main point is, it's not such a cheap thing. How reverently Srila Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami are speaking about Radha Kund. How Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is searching for Radha Kund. And, you know, what understanding and what appreciation do we have? How much respect we should have, that's the point.
I have seen
devotees
take a
mantra
in Navaratri.
I said, Prabhupada eats up a little bit. Allowed or not allowed, that one has to consider. Both instructions are there. That you shouldn't, no one should. And it seems Prabhupada also gave some allowance. So you have to consider it. It may not be that by bathing in Radha Kund, you know, you'll get more benefit than putting 3 drops of water on your head. It's consciousness also. I don't know. In my experience, he didn't go there. Maybe in the early days he might have brought some devotees there. You know, when they, in the early days, probably brought the devotees all around Vrindavan. chosen for Shana, chosen for Vidana, chosen for many things. But I haven't read any accounts about Prabhupada giving that activity. It isn't to say that he did. But certainly it wasn't that he'd come to Vrindavan and then go to Radhakund and stay there and camp out for a week. In my experience, I never saw Prabhupada giving that activity. He would come to Krishna Balaram temple and stay there. One time, I think Bhakti Charamai told this type of story. And one time, Tamal Krishna Maharaj had gone to, you know, that Krishna Balaram tree, that area, during those Prabhupada's illness. He'd gone there, Prabhupada called for him. He frequently did, you know, where is Tamal? But he was looking for Tamal Krishna Maharaj, and no one could find him. And he's gone, I think, to chant his rounds or something like that. He hadn't gone very far. And anyway, then later he came back. Not so much later, because he didn't, you know, he was very beautiful and attentive. Probably that's where he was, though, I was at such and such place. Prabhupada told him, everything you need for your spiritual realization is within the four walls of this compound. Again, Vrindavan is the place of devotional service to Krishna. Not a place of our own enjoyment. It's a place of service. It's not that I'll go and bathe in Radhakund and then I'll get love of God and then I'll get all this sense gratification with Krishna. You know, I'll live in Vrindavan and there'll be Chintamani stones and I'll have an eternal body and I'll enjoy. We're reading in Nectar Devotion that Kukja had that mentality. He wanted to enjoy. Therefore, our love is not considered to be on the level of the gopi. Kama Fry, almost. In our present contaminated state, we'll think about going to Vrindavan and enjoying it. When devotees first went to Vrindavan with Prabhupada in the early days, you know, they were in the sweet shops, they were in Lai Bajar, they were, you know, it was such a fantastic thing that you have to come in from America and Europe, there were all these, you know, opportunities for fantastic enjoyment. Of course they were getting sick from too many sweets. And of course they did so much service, I don't mean to simply disparage the early devotees. But they were newcomers on the scene and they didn't have so much, you know, newcomers actually to devotional service. They'd only been devotees for not so long. And newcomers in Vrindavan. So Vrindavan is the place of devotional service. Such a special place. Nowadays people are using it as a place for parking their money and, you know, doing real estate development and having upscale apartments, taking place outside of the building. That's not the mood of the Goswamis. There's some now Govardhan also, they're doing those kind of developments, and there's a big billboard near our temple in Govardhan. You can see the nice luxury apartments, and there's like a little golf cart, and there are these young people talking on cell phones. And such a nice place, Govardhan. It's sort of pitched as, you know, you can live in this blessed abode. You know, so you can have everything, your cell phone, your golf cart, your luxury apartment, and the blessings of the Lord. What more did you ask for? But actually, to appreciate Govardhan or appreciate Vrindavan, one's heart has to be pure. Therefore, we were quoting before, Rupa Raghunatha Gami. Yes, that also. What is that? That Vishriya Charya Kave Shuddha Kave Hama Hera Bashri. Narottam Das Thakur is saying, when will my mind be purified, free from all vishya? When will I give up all vishya, sense gratification? Then I'll be able to appreciate the Vrindavan, which is Krishna. Not in that other consciousness, but let me enjoy, let me, so many things. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Haide Akuti Kave Hama Bhutava Shaiju. When will I be attracted to the instructions of the Goswamis so that I'll be able to understand what is Radha Krishna, what is Vrindavan? Prabhupada said Srila Rupa Goswami has given us these books so that we can become Goswami. Krame krame, step by step, step by step. Vrindavan is covered by yoga maya. Naham prakasha sarvasya yoga maya samavrita. Mudo yam na sujanati. He's not manifest. Vrindavan or Krishna, neither of them. They're not manifest to anyone and everyone. Yoga maya samavrita. They're covered. Devan Mukhehi Jivaro Sahin. By service. When the heart is, has nothing in it except, I want to serve Krishna. I want to serve my spiritual master. I want to serve Krishna. No other business. That's true. That's true karma. Pure mind. Then we'll be able to see what is Vrindavan, what is Govardhan, what is Radhakrishna. Anything. Not in the material consciousness. So we're going very quickly in the space of 11 verses from the most basic principles of controlling the mind and senses up to the highest point of pure love for Krishna. Upadeshamrita. Very important book. At once so fundamental that Prabhupada said it should be distributed in all the schools and colleges. And at the same time so exalted that it includes instructions meant for the highest perfected thing. Okay, shall we stop here? We'll meet tomorrow. We'll finish the day today. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.